the latest on the coronavirus emergency.
As the number of cases grows, there's a new warning tonight. The U.S. does not have enough coronavirus test kits.
We return now to our continuing coverage of the coronavirus and the many ways it is impacting society.
It's all over the news. It's important to patients and to the community. Let's talk about how the coronavirus is affecting mental health. Welcome to the Carlat Psychiatry Podcast. This is a special episode covering coronavirus for mental health care professionals, our colleagues, and our families. I'm Dr. Josh Fader, Editor-in-Chief of the Carlat Child Psychiatry Report, and I've got some important points to go over with you that will benefit you and your colleagues and all of our families as we face this together. Let's start with the basics. I know you may have heard some of these before, but they're worth repeating. What is coronavirus? The CDC has some helpful resources on this and materials to share with patients. Those links and the links to the National Child Traumatic Stress Network are in the episode description. To summarize, it's called novel coronavirus, or COVID-19. It's a new virus, and it's thought to spread mainly from person to person. It spreads between people who are in close contact with one another, and that's within about 6 feet, through respiratory droplets produced when an infected person coughs or sneezes. And these droplets can land in the mouth or noses of people who are nearby, or possibly inhaled into the lungs. Symptoms may appear 2 to 14 days after exposure, and they include fever, cough, and shortness of breath. There may be other symptoms. We don't know enough about the virus yet to really tell. And differentiating between the flu, colds, and other conditions can be a little bit tricky at times. If you're unsure, call your doctor. The virus is most serious for older adults, especially those with existing medical conditions. So, first and foremost, we need to be part of minimizing transmission. My fellow podcast host, Dr. Chris Aiken, sent me the guidelines he circulated with his staff as a great starting point. First, when to stay home. If anyone has symptoms of acute respiratory illness, we recommend that they stay home and not come to work until they are free of fever, including any other symptoms, for at least 24 hours. When we say fever, we're talking about anything at or greater than 100.4 Fahrenheit or 37.8 Celsius using an oral thermometer without the use of any fever-reducing or other symptom-altering medications like aspirin or Tylenol, Advil, or cough suppressants. Here's another tip. Telepsych when patients are sick. This is a big one for us. In mental health, we can often accomplish a lot of our work without being in the same room. If your patients have those same respiratory illness symptoms, it's better for everyone if you try to do telepsych-type appointments. Many clinics have in-house telepsych programs. If your practice has existing procedures for telepsychiatry, you are ahead of the game. If you haven't used any sort of telepsychiatry before, here's a quick overview. The typical tools that people use to video chat, like Skype, Google Hangouts, and FaceTime, are kind of gray areas for HIPAA compliance. They can work under a provision of the law that calls them a, quote, mere conduit, unquote, which means they aren't considered to be storing any private health records. It's up to you and your patients whether you agree with that interpretation and level of security. In my own practice, I have a clause in my practice agreement that allows us to use electronic communications that helps with the issue of HIPAA compatibility. But if you want something that's considered HIPAA compatible with greater encryption measures, there are some paid services like VSEE, spelled V-S-E-E, Cloud Visit Telemedicine, eVisit, SecureTelehealth.com, and Theralink.com. Dr. Carlat covered these options and their levels of HIPAA protections in a 2015 issue of the Carlat Child Psychiatry Report. We've made those articles free to read, and there are links to them in the episode description. This practice tool is changing all the time, though, and regulations on it are changing as we speak. On March 4, 2020, congressional leaders agreed to a coronavirus response bill that will allow Medicare reimbursement for care providers using telehealth to treat seniors at home. Keep an eye on that bill and other measures from the government that will help prevent transmission of infections. In general, taking steps to make sure that our practices and our families are prepared for telepsychiatry is useful no matter what crisis we're facing, whether it's climate issues, wildfires, pandemics, terrorism, you name it. For travel, follow CDC recommendations when traveling, particularly abroad. Those recommendations are at www.nc.cdc.gov/travel. That link is in the episode description as well. And you got to keep things clean. Continue to wash your hands, wipe down surfaces, avoid shaking hands, cough into your arm and not into the air. I think that's good advice for how to run a practice in this situation or any situation. When it comes to prevention, the basics apply to us just like they do to the general population, and that telepsychiatry option could really come in handy. Now, let's talk about helping patients cope with the anxiety they may feel about the coronavirus. I came across some great advice from the Child Mind Institute that walks you through how to talk to kids about this. I think it's pretty helpful for child and adolescent patients, but also for anyone looking for a constructive approach to communicating about something stressful. So let's break down some of the key points. First, don't be afraid to talk about it. And let parents know that they shouldn't be afraid to talk about it with their kids. This is one of those situations where something is on the news and everyone is aware of it. It would actually be pretty disconcerting to a kid if their parents didn't bring it up. It would also be disconcerting to a patient if their clinician didn't bring it up. It might be worth communicating measures like telepsychiatry or even the guidelines you have in place for your staff to your patients. This lets them know that you aren't just operating business as usual and that you have a thought-out approach to the virus for your practice. So the first step here is that everyone needs to be informed and get fact-based information. This puts everyone on the same page. Next, you really need to be developmentally appropriate. This is common sense for a lot of clinicians, but it bears repeating. Basically, if someone is prone to anxiety and gets a bunch of information about coronavirus that they don't understand, it's going to be overwhelming. Well, how much is too much? Take your cues from your audience. Be a good listener. You're going to find out how the patient feels and get some good information on their state of mind. We also need to advise parents to deal with their own anxiety before talking to their kids. When there's big stressful news stories, it's important not to get caught up in your own anxiety and then start talking about it with the kids. It moves the conversation away from that fact-based foundation. And you have to be reassuring. From what we know about coronavirus, there are large segments of the population that could consider themselves pretty safe. Younger patients and even healthy older patients aren't in serious danger. Those are important points to communicate. Focus on what you're doing to stay safe. Kids feel empowered when they are doing things that are meaningful to them. Anna Freud used to talk about how families who did best when things were difficult during World War II were the families where the parents stayed calm and kept the kids engaged in meaningful activity. That could include hand washing as one of the things we're doing to keep ourselves safe. It can also mean keeping up with homework. The CDC says wearing masks isn't necessary for most people, but if a child sees people in masks, you can just observe that those people are just being extra careful, as opposed to them thinking not having a mask makes someone unsafe. It is important to stick to routines. There will be interruptions in situations like this, especially if schools or events are shut down. In general, routines are good for mitigating stress. For kids, this is structured days with regular meal times, sleep times, homework times, and play times, of course. It can be really helpful to harness the power of symbolic play at times like these, and that's not just for kids, it's also for adults. Think about it. If you're playing with your toys and you're playing hospital, or playing these guys got sick, or even these guys died, that's better than sitting and being nervous about it. You're thinking these things through. Kids do it, adults do it. It's a healthy thing to think about these things. And of course, you can be playing different kinds of outcomes like how we get past this or other kinds of play that have nothing to do with this. It's also important to keep the lines of communication open. A good constructive conversation often ends by saying, "We'll keep learning more, and if I find out something new, I'll let you know." A link to the full article on Childmind is in the episode description. The American Psychological Association has a podcast called Speaking of Psychology, and the February 10th episode is called Coronavirus Anxiety. That's worth a listen as well because it covers some important insight on how xenophobia and racism can play into these public health scares. That's something that we've been talking about quite a bit. In fact, in the emergency declaration for Los Angeles, it was something that was specifically mentioned. That's something that we've been seeing in many of our blogs. I had a meeting with my colleagues on the Disaster and Trauma Committee of the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry just before I recorded this podcast. And part of what we talked about was just giving the facts isn't enough. It doesn't stop discrimination. It doesn't stop kids from avoiding other kids. It doesn't stop bullying and bias. What we need to do is to help people to be a little bit more reflective. When you hear a statement or see an action that's discriminatory or biased, there are things that you can do. It's really important first to meet the person where they are. They're probably very scared, and it's okay to talk about that by saying things like, "You seem really frightened about this," or "You seem really concerned," and let them talk about it. After that, try to figure out what the information is that's made them so concerned. They probably heard some statement from somewhere that made them associate a person by race or something else with the concern that they have. My colleague, Dr. Andrea Davis, had some great ideas about the kind of language we might use when talking to kids about these situations. You really want to connect before you redirect to the facts. Attune to the person before you challenge their thinking. We can join kids or teens where they are at first, empathize, validate, quote, "Wow," unquote. "Wow, you're really trying to figure out how to be safe. This news is so worrisome, I know." Or, "Geesh, if you heard all the sickness comes from a certain group of people, that must make you pretty mad at them. It must make you want to do something to stop it." Well, me too. But then challenge or redirect or help them to reflect. Like, "So how did you hear it always comes from this group of people? What do you think of that idea? How strongly do you believe it? What do you think about the other countries and types of people who have also gotten sick with this new virus? What do you imagine it might feel like if it were your relatives who everyone was blaming for the virus? Who did you hear might be more likely to get really sick with this flu? Do you know people who might get very sick from it? How likely do you think it is that you might get it, or someone in your family? What makes you think that? What do you do to calm yourself when you get really worried? Who can you talk to about these worries? How can you get some solid information about the situation?" The more you ask, if there isn't much behind it, well, that'll become pretty apparent pretty quickly, and then you can go on to say, "Well, you know, the facts are," and then give them the facts. Try to engage the person in an ongoing flow of interaction and think about the fear, but also about the things that they can do to stay safe. At that point, you might be able to talk with them about how it might feel to be in the group that's being discriminated against, what it might be like for them. And then maybe you can get a little bit of empathy. That will go a long way towards keeping our kids and our society from fragmenting in the face of these difficulties. For that American Psychological Association podcast, their guest for that episode is Dr. Baruch Fischoff, who also makes a good observation that certain people in society are more susceptible to trauma from an event like this. People who may have trauma in their past, people who might have financial stress if their jobs are affected, people who have family members who are more at risk to the virus. Those are all important points to keep in mind. On one hand, we want to encourage everyone to stay calm and keep their thinking grounded in fact. On the other hand, there are some people who are going to feel the effects of this more than others, and that's a fact we just need to keep in mind. There's a really great article on the website for the National Child Traumatic Stress Network. We'll include a link to it in the episode description. So that's our coronavirus update. If you have information to add, please let us know. You can email the editorial team directly at asktheeditor@thecarlattreport.com. Or if you prefer to drop us a note on the website, go to www.thecarlattreport.com/contact. If you have helpful tips, we'll include them in a future episode so everyone can benefit from your insights. Thanks for listening, and talk to you next time on the Carlatt Psychiatry Podcast.